at the very beginning at Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Genesis chapter 3, 12 through 15. It says, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the serpent said, and the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so we have here the fall of man and the first proclamation of the gospel. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 209. We'll just sing the first and last verses. 209, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we have one of the explicit prophecies of the coming of our Savior. And it says there in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." You know, it's interesting, and we'll see it when we get to the Luke 2 passage of Bethlehem, that where is he born King of the Jews? That's actually in Matthew 1. "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And so they go and they research and they say, it's supposed to be in Bethlehem. They come to this text here. And we know that that is the house of David. That's why they had to go to Bethlehem. But do you remember where we first see Bethlehem? We first see Bethlehem in the book of Ruth. That's where Ruth was from. That's where Ruth and, well, actually she wasn't. Ruth was from Moab, wasn't she? That's where her father-in-law or mother-in-law, Naomi, was from. And they had gone to Moab because of the great famine. And Ruth comes back with Naomi. And you know the story, if you've read the book of Ruth, of Boaz. Here was a Moabite that was a part of the lineage of our Savior. And then, of course, she is the great-grandmother of David. And so we have the house and lineage of David. We have Bethlehem. And we have Bethlehem wrapped up in the story of the Word of God. Let's turn to hymn number 226, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And since the last time there was only two verses, I was safe. But we will sing first and last verses there.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Going now to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1. We'll start at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. and blessed is he, she, that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then we're going to go on reading there. Right now I'm going to ask if Amanda would come and share with us.
D for me.
Amen. Continuing on in the reading of God's Word in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers and to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." Going back to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Going over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight that can say Luke chapter 2 by memory? When I was a child, that was the challenge. And I don't know that I could do it tonight. But Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn. Let us turn our hymnal now to hymn 236, What Child Is This? Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there with the multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one unto another, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Can I just stop here for just a moment? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you this evening that the Lord made it known unto you? It's His work, a work of grace. And then He goes on, and He came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Hymn number 194, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. 194.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near, all gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering. Blessed angels sing, and ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary world and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
Going back to the book of Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had heard privately, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. We three kings. Just this year, I had a privilege of being reunited with a man that I grew up with, and we always laugh because it was he, Steve Rule, and me that were the three kings, and we sang that as a trio. I'm not sure that it was memorable for good reasons, but it was memorable. Let's just sing the first and the last verses of 221, We Three Kings.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect line. And the last, glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect line.
And now we turn to John chapter 1, not thought to be a birth narrative, and in one sense it's not a birth narrative, but belongs together with all the other narratives about our Savior. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's where it is. Christ shined in the darkness that night. Then skipping over to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us turn now to hymn number 215, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly.
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping, Virgil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, flee from sorrow, praising voices, praising dawn. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the babe was born for you.
We're not going to read an additional text this evening, but I'm going to look from the text of Luke chapter 2 this evening. Most of us are very familiar with that text. I imagine that if we were to ask you tonight, who were the characters in the story that is recorded there in Luke 2? Most of us would say Mary. Most of us would say Joseph. Most of us would say baby Jesus. Most of us would say angels. Most of us would say the shepherds. But I want to point out three people or three groups of people that are there, but many times we do not recognize or realize. And I'd like to think of those just for a moment this evening. The first one, and we see it in the first verse, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. It was that decree that Caesar made that caused Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem, that fulfilled Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Humanly speaking, if Caesar Augustus had never given that decree, Jesus would have been born in Nazareth. The whole narrative would have been destroyed. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And so at the right time, God sent his Son. At the right time, at the right place. And it was because of Caesar Augustus. And can I tell you this evening, Caesar Augustus had no desire to fulfill God's word. Had no desire to be an instrument in God's hand. In fact, Caesar Augustus, his name was really Octavius. He was the one that came just after Julius Caesar. There was some intrigue there, but he was the heir that Julius Caesar had left in his will that he would be. He took the name Augustus as the first Caesar to take that name Augustus. Now, you may have heard that name Augustus, August. August, somebody that is august, is somebody that is very weighty. Very high, very lifted up. It actually means reverend or holy. And that term was used and reserved for the gods in Roman culture. And so it was here that the Caesars came to make themselves to be God. And a man, he became a man that was thought to be a God. But what a contrast of true God becoming man. Man taking to himself that which he could never take. But the miracle of Christ, God the second person, becoming man. I might tell you something tonight that might disturb you a little bit. You know, in our society, people talk about a Christmas miracle. A Christmas miracle. Can I tell you tonight, there was no miracle on Christmas Day, as most people think. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. There was no miracle that of his birth was not the miracle. His birth was the conception 9 months earlier when God became man. Mary suffered just like any other woman would in childbirth. The baby Jesus, she took and he took and was born and had the pain of having to take that first breath. Who spanked his little bottom to make him breathe, or burped his little back, or changed his little diapers? No, nothing miraculous in that. If you want to find that out, just ask any mother here what that's all about. The miracle was when God became flesh 9 months earlier. And so we have Caesar Augustus. Can I tell you this evening that God has a purpose and a plan, and he's working that purpose and plan. And we can rest confidently in him. The second one that I want to look at is in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, whether there was a room, there was an innkeeper, or whether it was a family, or whatever it be, there were those people that were indifferent. Indifferent. Can you imagine? Here is a woman that is in the last stages of pregnancy, and there was no place for them in somebody's house. I can remember, I grew up in a preacher's family. And I can remember, not often, but there would be times where a missionary would come through and there was always room in the inn. The kids went on the floor. I went on the floor. Don't you feel bad for me? I went on the floor. The missionary slept in the bed. There was always room in the inn. And I think as we look at whatever the situation would mean, we can't know for sure what it was, but there were a whole lot of people that were indifferent to the situation that was right there. There were crowds around. There was noise. There was busyness. You remember Caesar Augustus had said that there was to be a taxing and they were to go back to their home city. Folks, this was a reunion. This was a time of celebration. Oh yeah, nobody likes to pay taxes, but you might as well make the best of it as you go to do the taxes. And so there was a time, I think, of festivities there. Not much undifferent than what we have in our society today. Have you been on North 98 lately? Have you been in Walmart lately? Have you been in Publix lately? It's nuts. It's crazy. People are going this way and that way and the other way. What is this all about? What are we doing? Folks, just like there was indifference in that day, there is indifference in our day. And lastly, we see not only was there the ignorant Caesar Augustus, not only was there the indifferent, we'll just call him the innkeeper, but there was also the incredulous. Look at verse 18, or listen to verse 18. And all they that heard it, when the shepherds went back, wondered at those things. The shepherds were the lowest of society that day. They couldn't testify in court. They were rejected by people. They spent many weeks and months out in the fields alone, and people didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so when the message came to them from the angel of the Lord and the multitude of the heavenly host coming and telling them that there was Christ, the Savior, that was to be born. Oh, brothers and sisters, I think we can take great hope from that. I don't know of anybody here particularly that's particularly wealthy or well-to-do or well off. God sent the message to the humble, to the lowly, to the poor. And when they came to an understanding of the message that they had been told, they went and they told everybody, and they were incredulous. Why do you think they were incredulous? I think there could be several reasons they were incredulous. They were incredulous because of the messenger. Who would ever give the shepherds such a message? And secondly, the message itself was incredulous. The Messiah, Christ, coming and be born of a woman in a stable, in a manger. I tell you again the story that I shared last week. Those little girls that were at the Good News Club who had never heard the story of Jesus being born and Jesus being laid in a manger. They were here Sunday night, and they sang and they said some of the very things that they had learned about. You know, most of us here tonight have heard this message over and over and over again. I trust you have not become bored with it. I trust that it has not become just rote to you. But at least once a year, we take time to think of the wonder that God loved us and sent His Son. I'd like to turn to one last passage in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 says this, starting at verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that He loved us, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Son. Not to the palaces, not to the finery, but to the lowly, but for you and for me. And so this evening, I'd like for us to turn to hymn number 190, or you probably don't need to turn there. We probably know Silent Night. I'm reminded of one of the carols that says, "A world in darkness." I'm reminded of the scriptures that tell us that the world was in darkness, and that Jesus, the light of the world, came that we might be the light of the world. You know, there's a children's song that comes directly from Scripture. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. What's the purpose of a light? The purpose of the light is to give light. The purpose of Jesus Christ was to give us understanding, was to give us light, to give us salvation. And so, our Savior, when he came to a dark world. Came to a world that did not understand, did not know. We read the scripture, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, we live in a very privileged place in the United States of America. And though we come across people that have never heard of the gospel, for most of us, we've heard these things since childhood. May we be excited about those things. May we be thankful for those things. And may we be light in those things. Tonight, as I come by your pew, I'm not going to dip my candle. You dip your candle towards me. Mr. Couch did it correctly, and then just pass it down to your neighbor. You know, the world grows darker, and I believe that's biblical. I believe that the world is going to grow darker, more and more so until the time that Jesus Christ comes. But until that time, we are to be lights in this dark world. We're to be reflections of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we never know when our testimony and how we live will be taken and used by God in order to spread the light of His gospel. Folks, salvation is of the Lord. Without Him, there is no salvation. There is no light. As you look at these lights, and I get to see a better perspective than you do, because I'm looking out there and I see your faces, and I see, like, Hannah can see it. Can't you? Doesn't that look nice, Hannah? And you know what? There's a warmth in light. There's a beauty in light. And may we reflect the warmth and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people might be attracted to that. And may we show by our countenance, by our speech, by our actions, that we are born again, that we are one of God's children. I look at the tree here, and as I look at the tree, I see all these different symbols reminding us of who Jesus Christ is and what is eternality. We see His humility. We see the cross that He left, that He died on. But we see all these beautiful, beautiful lights. They're all different colors. They're all pointed just in a little bit different way. But God, in His sovereignty and in His wisdom, has put us together as a body that we might reflect His glory and His beauty. Tonight, could we once again offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice to be used of Him, to point people to Him and to His salvation that He offers in Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Father, we ask you that tonight you would make us grateful. That tonight you would give us a renewed sense of desire, a renewed sense of taking and serving you for the coming year. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. I trust that tonight, being together with God's people, has been an encouragement and a help to you. I trust that you will be thankful for what God has done for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. If you'd extinguish your candle, please. And be careful not to drip them or that. If we can keep that off the rug in the pews, that would be great. Tomorrow morning, I'd like to invite you. We'll be having our service at 10:45. And I would like to ask, it's going to be sort of informal, this part, but if you have something that you would like to sing or play tomorrow, we can't do a whole lot, but I'd like to have 4, 5, 6 different ones. So if you'll just tell me, even tonight, hey, I've got something we'd like to sing, we'd like to play, let me know and we'll put you down on the schedule, okay? And if I don't see you tomorrow, we trust the Lord will bless you. Having a day of enjoyment. I hope you noticed my new tie. My granddaughter Tristan gave that to me. And so I thought I'd wear it tonight. You know, people gripe and complain about it's commercial. Yeah, there is an element. But there's nothing wrong with giving gifts of love to one another. We ought to do that all the time. January 1st. You know, February 1st, but I trust that whether it's tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, the next day, whenever it is that you share whatever gifts it might be, that yes, that would be a great time of enjoyment, but can we put Jesus first? Can we make the reason we have joy is because of what Jesus has done? The reason we give gifts is because of the great gift that God has given to us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. Yes. Okay, thank you for asking. Pastor Samuel and his wife had a baby on Wednesday night late. They are home.